This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Bob Garfield is away this week. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Writing early on Friday, my impeachment experience this week was incomplete, consisting of an incoherent improvisation in the first act, that's a rare bipartisan view, and a clarion concatenation in the second. Try listeners too often with a phrase like that and you're asking for trouble. But it's so good. Clarion, a clear, ringing, stirring sound. Concatenation, an interlocking sequence, in this case, an unbreakable narrative chain wound around the Senate to extract a verdict of guilty. Some senators said they felt the case presented against Trump, built on months of his words and deeds, climaxing in violent rampage, like a physical memory of trauma. Indeed, the point was to convey the truth in body as well as mind.
And the truth is, President Trump had spent months calling his supporters to a march on a specific day, at a specific time, in specific places, to stop the certification.
You will not be hearing extended lectures from me because our case is based on cold, hard facts.
At trial, we will prove with overwhelming evidence that President Trump is singularly and directly responsible for inciting the assault on the Capitol.
They took away your vote. It's rigged. That was not true. According to judge after judge, the truth was exactly the opposite.
President Donald John Trump incited this violence.
This is what the evidence has overwhelmingly shown and will show in this trial. And it's also the truth.
Their evidence came from an impressive array of sources, FBI affidavits, media reports, Capitol Police radio recordings.
They're throwing metal poles at us.
50, give me DSO, your mail, DSO. Law enforcement entries. DSO, get up here.
All right, we're 30 seconds out.
Videos captured by documentarians, citizen journalists, Capitol security camera footage, live streaming insurrectionists.
Fight for Trump! Fight for Trump! Treason! 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 No Trump! No peace!
And a presentation of Trump's own tweets as they were posted during the attack to prove to at least 17 Republican senators that he had not only incited the January 6th insurrection, but helped to plan it.
They had originally planned rallies for January 22nd and January 23rd after the inauguration. But Donald Trump had other plans. On December 19th, President Trump tweeted his save the date for January 6th. He told his supporters to come to D.C. for a big protest, the day billing it as wild. Just days later, Women for America First amended their permit to hold their rally on January 6th.
That was Stacey Plaskett, delegate for the United States Virgin Islands for the prosecution.
Here's what the FBI said, and I quote, "Other members of the group talked about things they had done that day, and they said that anyone they got their hands on, they would have killed, including Nancy Pelosi, and that, quote, they would have killed Vice President Mike Pence if given the chance."
Combining CCTV footage with a diagram of the Capitol, she showed how very close members of Congress had been to the mob.
Where are you, Nancy? We're looking for you! Nancy! Oh, Nancy!
and they showed video of the senators themselves watching themselves evacuate, including a very close call for Senator Mitt Romney. He shook his head. He told reporters he had never seen that video before. I saw Senator Bill Cassidy, an important Republican in this whole proceeding, still as a stone, except for his pen, which was moving in his fingers.
Josh Hawley, Republican senator from Missouri, the guy photographed holding up his fist in solidarity with the rioters on January 6th, did not brandish his mitts Wednesday. He just averted his eyes.
All the senators have the option to use the gallery, the upstairs area, for seating for social distancing. Josh Hawley is the only one taking advantage of that opportunity. He's been sitting with his legs up on the seat in front of him, essentially reading non-related material. In the 20 minutes or so I was in the chamber just now, I didn't see him look down really at all to engage.
Rick Scott, Tom Cotton, Marco Rubio read during the hearings. Rand Paul doodled. Nor was Fox News keen to engage. It cut away from the proceedings on Wednesday as the prosecutors were revealing some of their most potent evidence. Fox's liberal-ish contributor, Juan Williams, was appalled on Fox's The Five when that happened.
I'm kind of shocked. I want you guys to come back. Come back. Join the conversation. Pay attention to the news. What's going on Capitol Hill today is an attempt to hold democracy and the Constitution up, to celebrate that as the basis that we're a country of laws. This impeachment trial that you guys are all ignoring, I guess you're afraid of it because it's a reminder.
Don't mind read, Ron. Please don't mind read.
We can talk about it for 10 minutes.
Don't mind read.
Let me finish.
Don't mind read, Dad. Don't lead in the show.
There's no need. There's no need because I listened to all of this. So let me tell you.
Then how could you be so wrong? How could you be so wrong?
You're being so rude because I'm so right. And now he's forcing Republicans to make a choice. You can stand with the mob that stormed Capitol Hill, facing the truth, is the way that we solve. It's the way we bring the country together. Ignoring problems is never the way to solve.
You shouldn't be impugning our intentions, Juan. That's the problem.
You didn't say we are standing with these people.
I don't need to impugn it. I can listen. I can hear you guys.
And then it goes into your brain and it comes out wrong. That's on you, not on us.
Later that evening, Fox primetime hosts Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity drew on increasingly deranged conspiracy theories to denature the evidence.
They're just flat out lying. There's no question about that. The question is, why would they lie about this? For an answer, think back to last spring. Beginning of Memorial Day, BLM and their sponsors in corporate America completely changed this country. They changed this country more in 5 months than it had changed in the previous 50 years. How'd they do that? They used the sad death of a man called George Floyd to upend our society. Months later, we learned that the story they told us about George Floyd's death was an utter lie. There was no physical evidence that George Floyd was murdered by a cop. The autopsy showed that George Floyd almost certainly died of a drug overdose, fentanyl.
Right. A full autopsy report by Minneapolis police found that Floyd had fentanyl and other drugs in his blood. He also had COVID-19. None of that killed him. His death was ruled a homicide. Maybe Tucker will move on to flim-flam less foul. But why would he? Fox's Sean Hannity.
Tonight, the unconstitutional shift-sham show impeachment charade, it continues to drag on in the U.S. Senate. If you haven't been watching the proceedings, you did not miss much. So far, House impeachment managers played a heavily edited clip of President Trump from January the 6th. And, of course, they conveniently left out the part when he told the crowd that you will peacefully, patriotically let your voices be heard.
In a speech spanning almost 11,000 words, yes, we did check, that was the one time, the only time President Trump used the word peaceful or any suggestion of nonviolence.
So, not left out, addressed, in fact.
We are watching one of the stupidest events by some of the stupidest people in American history, and history will fix this.
Maybe. But in the meantime, Hannity guest Mark Levin micturated a stream of accusations, real and imagined, against individual Democrats and the party in general, utterly immaterial to the case at hand. The strategy of sidetracking, of filling the air with false equivalents, detours, and distractions is well underway. Like this from Trump's defense team Friday, a tape montage of Democrats Nancy Pelosi, Cory Booker, Joe Biden, and Maxine Waters.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
You got to be ready to throw a punch.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face.
Feel like punching him.
We were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Fully anticipated. Rhode Island Democrat David Cicilline in Congress Tuesday.
Apparently, they think this will establish some sort of equivalency, or that it will show in contrast that President Trump's statements at the Save America rally weren't so bad. Like so much of what President Trump's lawyers might say today, that's a gimmick. It's a parlor game meant to inflame partisan hostility and play on our divisions. So let me be crystal clear. President Trump was not impeached because the words he used, viewed in isolation, without context, were beyond the pale. Plenty of other politicians have used strong language. But Donald J. Trump was president of the United States. He sought to overturn a presidential election that had been upheld by every single court to consider it. He spent months insisting to his base that the only way he could lose was a dangerous, wide-ranging conspiracy against them and America itself.
The defense will equate protests over criminal and racial injustice with insurrection. They will, to paraphrase Hannity, conveniently leave out the role right-wing militias and brutal policing played and the violence that sometimes followed. They will forget the widespread condemnation of that violence by Democrats. History may fix that, or not. History, it turns out, is a living thing, in constant transformation, renewed by research, reconsiderations, and reckonings in every realm of human endeavor. That's what we focus on this hour. Every person has their story and their take on other people's stories. So tweeted Britney Spears Tuesday. Up next, we reckon with her story.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.